Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Tim Wilson. How are you, Tim?
I'm still very well, thanks.
Still very well. Yeah, no, well, yes, last week we recorded a show, but actually it was only 2 seconds ago that we stopped the recorder. So fair enough. You've caught me out. For years I've been fooling my listeners. I've been fooling my listeners that actually when I have the same person on two or three times over a couple of weeks, that I've actually gone back two or three times. But no, I'm do them one after the other. Yeah. Okay, so last week we were talking about your Wilson's Drink Report,
yep.
Which is available to the trade, well, to anybody really.
Anybody, yep.
But it's mainly, I'd imagine, more of a trade-type product.
Yeah.
You've actually just released, as part of your packaging, not just your Wilson's Drink Report quarterly, but you've just done an online review. Is this something that you're going to be moving forward with ongoing, or this is it just a one-off?
Yeah, this is the third one we've done. So again, the idea is to come out every quarter. Mm-hmm. So we're collecting data from 13 leading specialist online wine retailers,
yep.
Including most of the big players, and we get quarterly data. So the idea is that we will provide updates every quarter,
yep.
Because this is an important channel, and we think it's worth at least £700 million a year.
Yeah.
At retail.
In the UK. So that's
just in the UK.
700 million is, you know, that's I'll have a bit of that. Just 1%, yep, of that would be fine, really, wouldn't, yep, it? Okay, no, that's good. That's good. And you're saying that whilst wine purchasing is reasonably flat on the online, you know, going to Tesco's, buying your wines there, you're showing percentages that the online retailing was going up.
Yeah, volume certainly in the off-trade, so the traditional supermarkets and off-licenses, volumes for 2014 were down just over 3% for still, yeah, wine. So this has been a trend for about 3 or 4 years now.
In
fact, more than that, just steady volume decline.
Well, 1-3% every year.
Exactly, yeah. And value growth just about breaking even if you're lucky.
But that's a lot of that, I would have thought, was tax.
Yeah, duties are part of that. Not all of it, but part of it.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what happens now with the Conservatives not putting the tax up last time.
Well, yeah, I personally think that we'll see the RPI index applied to the next duty round.
Okay. Yeah.
Because inflation's low. Inflation's only at 1%. Mm-hmm. And I think Osborne will say, look, it's only low, I'm putting it up by 1%. You know, you could argue it was a tactical move not to increase or to cut duty on beer and spirits before the election,
yeah,
and hold it on wine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it will go up again.
Yeah, yeah, almost.
And if you look at the Office for Budget Responsibility numbers, you can see that an increase is built in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're assuming growth and tax.
Yeah. So okay. Wine volumes are forecast to increase, by the way, on the OBR, because I've spoken to the Treasury before now, and they obviously work closely together, and they say there's a very strong correlation between the economy and wine volumes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So the projection is, as the economy continues to improve and the macro effects trickle down to household at the micro level, then there'll be more spending on wine.
Okay. No.
So the long-term picture for wine is actually quite good.
Okay.
Oh. We're in a downward trough at the moment.
Just because people's pockets have been a bit tight for a while.
And we talked last week about confidence.
Yeah.
When you're buying wine, I think there's still a lack of confidence about spending.
Mm.
Now, in some pockets of the country, in certain industries, there is definitely more money to be spent, more, yep, disposable income. And we look at one of the ASDA trackers on that, and that's in good shape. But that may take time to feed through into wine purchasing.
Okay. So what are the big things? We've said that the online retail market is growing.
Yes.
I think you said it was 11% of the total at the moment?
Yes, it's about 11% of the off-trade in size, and we think over 4 years that could grow to be 15% of the off-trade.
Yeah, so that's quite a big chunky,
yeah,
size, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And many of the retailers who, I'll pick out one example, Corks Out, very successful retailer in the Northwest, I think have either 5 or 6 branches, have added in the last couple of years an online presence, which actually serves some national consumers.
Yeah.
And that is turning over at least the same as a new store.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And so that becomes a very nice way of adding on, building your business. If you're a small independent, you can go online and you can add in all sorts of other services as well and just build your presence in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So we expect to see more people coming into the online market, but it will be at the more premium level because it is still pretty hard to make money online.
Yeah, we reported that in the news just recently that you were saying that it's, you know, the online business isn't exactly massively profitable.
Yeah.
are the big things like Tesco's and that, do you think they're really making money online?
Oh, yes, they are making money.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you've got to get to quite a big scale first.
You need scale, yeah. When you can piggyback wine volumes onto existing e-commerce infrastructure, that obviously makes the marginal cost much lower.
Mm.
It's when you're setting up from scratch and people like Slurp found to their cost, they couldn't make it work.
What was the problem there with them, do you think? Because they started, they had a big old hiss and a roar. And
yeah, well, if you go back a couple of years, they appeared to offer a ridiculous number of SKUs, like about 2,000 or 3,000 SKUs.
Mm.
And in fact, very few of them they actually held in stock.
Yep.
And so if you went on their website, bought something, they would then have to ring up the supplier to deliver it. It was all a bit clunky. That involved lots of costs, lots of handoffs, lots of margin loss, and they just weren't getting the volumes to make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
So the business model was probably flawed.
There was another one. Is it Every Wine?
Yeah, that was Booths.
Who but they had a huge range of wines.
Massive range, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like the Waitrose of the North.
Yep.
Premium grocery retailer. Again, couldn't make it work. So yeah. Didn't really go public as to why. They just said it wasn't a strategic priority, but clearly they just weren't getting enough volume through there of the right sort of wine.
And they had the similar sort of model of Slurp, wasn't it? They didn't seem to carry a lot of
stock. They didn't carry all of it, no.
No, because they had wines that I knew where they came from, and they certainly didn't have, they wouldn't have been carrying stock.
But then Amazon don't have many wines in stock either.
Mm.
But there, I think they're the snake in the grass that we all have to watch out for.
Yep.
To see how seriously they move forward in gaining market share in wine.
Yep.
Because they have said quite publicly that food and beverage is, you know, one of their big growth areas for their business, because they've saturated books, CDs, music and things like that.
Are they selling wine in the UK? I've seen them selling wine in America.
Oh, yes. And if you go online, you'll see 13, 14,000 SKUs available.
Oh, really?
Now, some of those, a small number, they were actually holding stock.
Yeah.
And they buy off the producers. They also act as like an online marketplace.
Yeah, an agent.
Yep. And then sometimes they route an order straight through to the retailer itself, and you pay Amazon a commission on that.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But it gives you, for a fixed percentage, you get a reach to all the Amazon customers, which is obviously worth a huge amount.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. So how big is Amazon? You haven't got the data for Amazon.
We haven't signed them up yet. They're on my target list. Yeah. No, we're very keen to get there. We're very keen to get Virgin Wines, significant online business, and they're keen to take part. They've just been through a management buyout, so they're not quite ready to join. And we're hoping that now Majestic own Naked, that Naked will fall into line and join Majestic on our group.
Okay. So, do you know how big Amazon wines are? Because they're not...
They're very secretive about...
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're the snake in the grass, but they're sort of... you don't really think about them from a wine point of view,
do you? Well, that's kind of why I've used that analogy, because you don't see them. But if I think about my kids' generation, my kids are all sort of low 20s.
Yeah.
If they buy anything online, the first place they go always goes Amazon.
Yeah.
That's their starting point.
Yeah.
And if that generation starts to think, well, I expect to find wine on Amazon, that's where they'll go first.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So that's why I think they represent a bit of a threat to some of the more established players.
Yeah, no, you could be right, actually. You could be right, actually. I hadn't really clocked them in the UK. I've seen them in America and I think in France as well, but I hadn't really clocked them in the UK. So, oh, okay. All right. In the presentation I just attended...
Last week,
5 minutes ago, depending on how you want to do it. You're showing the sort of breakdown by colour, really, red wines, white wines and sparkling wines.
Yeah.
Do you want to just tell us what your analysis shows in terms of what's popular online?
Yeah, there's some very strong trends which are emerging and have been for some time about how important the online channel is for red wine.
Yep.
So in the off-trade, through regular supermarkets and off-licenses, then white wine is always bigger.
Oh, really? It's always bigger in the
always bigger in volume and value.
Yep.
For online, then red wine is consistently higher in the numbers we have, which is a significant part of the market.
Okay. Do you think that's because, this will sound horribly sexist, but I always think of blokes buying wine online and your wife buying wine at the supermarket.
It's not far off how it happens. And I think the target market for quite a few of the, or the target shopper for a few of the specialist players, are sort of middle-aged men who have time and money, who have travelled extensively and enjoy food and wine. That is a sort of, for many people, a sacred sort of cow of, that's the wrong analogy, but that's a golden segment where they are relatively knowledgeable, have time, have money, and use the internet to dig and find sometimes that specialist wine you can't buy anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the online channel is a fantastic medium to tell the story about wine.
Yeah, because you've, well, supermarket's a rubbish place to tell a story about wine. You can't.
No.
You can't tell a story in a supermarket.
But if you go to a website like Berry Brothers, for instance, you'll get lost for half an hour. You go into so much detail. It's a fantastic site.
Yeah, yeah. Wine Society's a bit like that as well.
Exactly, yeah. So anyone doing their exams, you know, want to know more about grape varieties, regions and all that stuff, then some of the online websites provide a fantastic free resource.
True.
Or they could come to one of your courses.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'll cut the other bit out. But yeah. Excellent. So red wines, then white wines, or what about sparkling wines?
Yeah, red number one, then white, and then sparkling. And those three make up, certainly in our sample, about 97% of the total volume.
What about rosé then?
Very small.
No one buys rosé online?
They don't buy by the case.
Okay.
So our focus is on the specialist retailers where you sell by the case.
Mm-hmm.
And people, yes, they buy rosé, but usually they like to buy one bottle.
Yep.
Or they buy a mixed case from some of the big retailers, which might have, you know, four reds, four whites, a sparkling and a rosé.
Yeah, okay.
So it's an add-on. It's nice for a summer's day and a barbecue and stuff, but not a serious everyday drink.
Well, there are some expensive rosés out there, but I suppose...
Yeah.
What about the average price? Do people spend more or less online? You know, are you going online to get that cheap bargain? Or
nope. Again, in our sample, which excludes the value end, if you like, for the main grocery retailers.
Aldi and Lidl. Or
they're not on at all, but we don't have Tesco.com, but we have Tesco wine by the case.
Yeah.
The average price that we record is just over £7 for a bottle of still wine, and this compares to about £5.25, £5.30 through supermarkets. So it's a big
jump. Step up. Yeah.
So if you get it right, then you can encourage the online shopper to buy a case and
buy
lots of it. And the average basket, to use a technical term, online, is about £124, way above the average.
For a case,
For the average transaction online in wine is £124.
Yeah, no, that's a good amount, isn't it?
Yeah, much higher than the average for any regular e-commerce, which is about £83, £84.
Oh, really? So what, it's 50% higher, isn't it?
50% higher, yeah.
But wine is a terrible thing to ship.
Yeah, it's heavy and it's big.
It's big, heavy, and it breaks.
Yep.
Oh, it's a terrible thing.
So there's significant costs in shipping, which is why most of the retailers have a minimum order of either a case or spend a certain amount to get that free shipping.
Yeah. Is free shipping a real key decision-making criteria?
Not so much, because as people tend to buy more than the 75, 80 quid, which is the usual threshold, actually they're expecting free delivery because they know they're going to buy a case.
Yeah.
So they're more interested actually in grape variety, region or country, and price. So those are the three things that their main decisions are based on.
Yeah. And how important is grape variety? Because I didn't really...
Right at the top.
Is it right at the top?
Usually one and two.
One and two?
One or two.
Oh, okay, one and two.
I think that a lot of British shoppers and consumers are becoming more knowledgeable about wine and more aware of what a different grape variety can deliver.
But what about if you're in France, you know, because they don't often, well, some of their regions aren't even broken out by grape varieties.
Yeah.
So does that mean that France doesn't really appear online or?
No, France is the leading country of origin for online sales. But of course, for the online retailer, even though the grape variety may not be on the label on the bottle, it will be on the website.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can search by, you know, I want Cabernet Sauvignon or I want Bordeaux blend will come up as a in effect as a grape variety, and that will then give you your selection from whichever region you're looking at.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. So you can still get around through it.
So it's all in the granularity of the data which goes behind the online interface.
Yep. Okay, cool. What other information have you guys said? So, well, we mentioned France is really important online, but I think you're showing me that Australia is the number one off-trade retailer.
But only in third place for online.
Only in third place.
So I think this represents a huge opportunity for Australian wines, particularly at the premium level.
Yeah.
So if Australia could establish, for instance, Barossa Shiraz as the new Argentinian Malbec.
Yep.
And flagship wines like Penfolds and things to lead the way, and for consumers to recognise that you can get some fantastic premium reds from Australia, the online channel is the perfect place to demonstrate that and to tell that story.
You
have all the blogs you want, you're going to have the interviews with the winemakers, and just tell that story of provenance, quality and all that, which is what the online channel is so good for.
And what do you think longer term, looking, you know, crystal ball, you sort of said, well, in a few years' time, we think that there's going to be growth there.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you think, is there something you can see now that could be quite disruptive, apart from Amazon, obviously, which we've talked about? Is there anything else out there that you think, well, that could, may, not hold you to it, may be a bit of a shocker in 5-10 years' time?
We always have to keep an eye out on what a very strong health lobby in Whitehall could do.
Yeah.
They want to ban any form of advertising, sponsorship, marketing for alcohol, full stop.
Yeah, France is in all sorts of issues with online.
Yeah, so who knows, they might try and place restrictions on buying alcohol online. It's a pretty drastic step, but you know, I've lived in America before where you couldn't buy alcohol on a Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and that was no fun when you didn't realise that's what the rules were.
Yeah, I remember I lived in Seattle and I had to go out with my passport. If I was going to go get smashed, I had to go out with my passport. And you're like, do you really want to go out drinking heavily with a passport? You know, it's such an important document and it's the only way I could get a drink in a place. It's like awful. Yeah. You know, it makes you very acutely aware of where your passport is, I can assure you.
Yeah, so that is definitely... It's a small risk, but it is a risk. I mean, you just see some of the stuff coming out of the Scottish government.
Yeah.
They are very concerned about excessive drinking in Scotland.
Mm.
And we'll try and push ahead with minimum pricing before England and Wales will ever do it. But they just haven't thought through the unintended consequences of that happening,
you
know, which are quite interesting.
Although you're not likely to go to Calais if you're in Scotland for your wine.
No, you'll just go online and you'll get it delivered from the north of England.
True.
Job done.
Yeah.
And by the way, who gets the extra revenue for minimum pricing? The retailer. The government gets nothing if the price goes up, apart from a bit more VAT.
Exactly.
I'm not in favour.
No, fair enough.
It's the wrong policy to tackle
irresponsible
drinking.
It would discourage really cheap wines. You know, really.
It would discourage cheap, strong cider. And it will discourage really cheap, dubious quality, own label spirits.
Yep.
But most wines aren't affected by minimum pricing.
Yeah.
In fact, most drinks aren't, which is why it's so pointless.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, Tim. Well, thank you very much. I think we'll wrap it up there.
Okay. My pleasure.
Cheers very much, bud.
Okay.